Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Tuesday, December 7th, National Cotton Candy Day. Cotton candy is possibly the most amazing form of caramelization ever invented by man. It is unsurprising considering the number of names that the treat itself is known by, including candy cobwebs, Hawaii Matai, candy floss, and our personal favorite, fairy floss. While today's technology allows us to produce cotton candy with a simple machine and a little time, the process would have been incredibly labor-intensive and no doubt expensive, leaving cotton candy as the treat of the financial elite. There are many exciting dessert recipes that call for the use of cotton candy, but have you ever wondered about its history? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. Cotton candy, also known as fairy floss and candy floss, is a spun sugar confection that resembles cotton. It usually contains small amounts of flavoring or food coloring. The candy is made by heating and liquefying sugar and spinning it centrifugally through minute holes, by which the sugar rapidly cools and re-solidifies into fine strands. It is often sold at fairs, circuses, carnivals, and festivals, served in a plastic bag or stick or paper cone. Cotton candy is made and sold globally, like candy floss in the UK, Ireland, Egypt, India, New Zealand, Sri Lanka, South Africa, and fairy floss in Australia. Similar confections include the Korean Kultori and the Persian Pashmak. Several places claim the origin of cotton candy as a form of spun sugar found in Europe in the 19th century. At that time, spun sugar was an expensive, labor-intensive endeavor and was not generally available to the average person. Others suggest versions of spun sugar originated in Italy as early as the 15th century. Machine-spun cotton candy was invented in 1897 by dentist William Morrison and confectioner John C. Wharton and was first introduced to a broad audience at the 1904 World's Fair as fairy floss with great success, selling 68,655 boxes at 25 cents, equivalent to $7.20 in 2020, per box. On September 6, 1905, Albert D. Robinson of Lynn, Massachusetts, submitted his patent for an electric candy spinning machine. The patent was for a combination of an electronic starter, a motor-driven rotatable bowl that maintained heating efficiently. By May 1907, he transferred the rights to the General Electric Company of New York. His patent still remains today as the primary cotton candy machine. Joseph Lisco, a dentist from New Orleans, Louisiana, invented a similar cotton-the-candy machine in 1921. The Lisco patent named the sweet confection cotton candy, eventually overtaking the name fairy floss, although it retains this name in Australia. In the 1970s, an automatic cotton candy machine was created, which made the product and packaged it. This made it easier to produce and sell at carnivals, stalls, and other events, requiring a more portable method of cotton candy production. The world's largest cotton candy manufacturer, Tootsie Roll Industries, makes a bagged, fruit-flavored version called Fluffy Stuff. In the United States, National Cotton Candy Day is celebrated on December 7th. Typical machines used to make cotton candy include a spinning head enclosing a small sugar reserve bowl into which a charge of granulated, colored sugar, or separate sugar and food coloring, is poured. Heaters near the rim of the head melt the sugar, which is squeezed out through tiny holes by centrifugal force. Colored sugar packaged specially for the process is milled with melting characteristics and a crystal size optimized for the head and heated holes. Granulated sugar used in baking contains fine crystals which spin out unmelted, while rock sugar crystals are too large to properly contact the heater, slowing the production of cotton candy. The molten sugar solidifies in the air and is caught in a giant bowl surrounding the spinning head. Left to operate for a period, the cotton-like product builds up on the inside walls of the more giant bowl, at which point machine operators twirl a stick or cone around the rim of the large catching bowl, gathering the sugar strands into portions which are served on stick or cone, or in plastic bags. As the sugar reserve bowl empties, the operator recharges it with more feedstock. The product is sensitive to humidity, and in humid summer locales, the process can be messy and sticky. Modern innovations in cotton candy equipment include vending machines that automatically produce single product servings, developed in Taiwan, and lighted or glowing sticks. The source material for candy mesh is usually both colored and flavored. When spun, cotton candy is white because it is made from sugar, but adding dye or coloring transforms the color. Originally, cotton candy was just white. In the US, cotton candy is available in a wide variety of flavors, but two flavor blend colors predominate, blue raspberry and pink vanilla, both initially formulated by the Gold Medal brand, which uses the names Boo Blue and Silly Nilly. Cotton candy may come out purple when mixed. Cotton candy machines were notoriously unreliable until Gold Medal's invention of a sprung base in 1949. Since then, they have manufactured nearly all commercial cotton candy machines and much of the cotton candy in the US typically. Once spun, cotton candy is only marketed by color. Absent a clear name other than blue, the distinctive taste of the blue raspberry flavor mix has gone on to become a compound flavor that some other foods, gum, ice cream, rock candy, fluoride toothpaste, occasionally borrow, cotton candy flavored ice cream, to invoke the nostalgia of cotton candy. The sale of blue cotton candy at fairgrounds in the 1950s is one of the first documented instances of blue raspberry flavoring in America. Pink bubble gum went through a similar transition from a specific branded product to a generic flavor that transcended the original confection, and bubble gum flavor often shows up in the same product categories as cotton candy flavor. In 1978, the first automated machine was used to produce cotton candy. Since then, the creations and innovations of this machine have become greater and greater. They range in sizes from countertop accessible to party and carnival size. Modern machines made for commercial use can hold up to 3 pounds, 1.4 kilograms, of sugar and have compartments to store extra flavors. The rotating bowl at the top spins at 3,450 revolutions per minute. When we return, food coloring. Food coloring, or color additive, is any dye, pigment, or substance that imparts color when added to food or drink. They come in many liquids, powders, gels, and pastes. Food coloring is used in both commercial food production and domestic cooking. Food colorants are also used in various non-food applications, including cosmetics, pharmaceuticals, home craft projects, and medical devices. People associate specific colors with certain flavors, and the color of food can influence the perceived flavor in anything from candy to wine. Sometimes the aim is to simulate a color perceived by the consumer as natural, such as adding red coloring to glacé cherries, which would otherwise be beige, but sometimes it is for effect, like the green ketchup that Heinz launched in 1999. Color additives are used in foods for many reasons, including to make food more attractive, appealing, appetizing, and informative. Offset color loss due to exposure to light, air, temperature extremes, moisture, and storage conditions. Correct natural variations in color. Enhance colors that occur naturally. Provide color to colorless and fun foods. Allow consumers to identify products on site, like candy flavors or medicine dosages. The addition of colorants to foods is thought to have occurred in Egyptian cities as early as 1500 BC, when candy makers added natural extracts and wine to improve the product's appearance. During the Middle Ages, the economy in the European countries was based on agriculture, and the peasants were accustomed to producing their own food locally or trading within the village communities. Under feudalism, aesthetic aspects were not considered, at least not by the vast majority of the generally impoverished population. This situation changed with urbanization at the beginning of the modern age, when trade emerged, especially the import of precious spices and colors. One of the first food laws, created in Augsburg, Germany, in 1531 concerned spices or colorants and required saffron counterfeiters to be burned. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution, people became dependent on foods produced by others. These new urban dwellers demanded food at a low cost. Analytical chemistry was still primitive, and regulations few. The adulteration of foods flourished. Heavy metal and other inorganic element-containing compounds turned out to be cheap and suitable to restore the color of watered-down milk and other foodstuffs, some more lurid examples being red lead, PB304, and vermilion, HDS, were routinely used to color cheese and confectionery. Copper arsenite, Cuasso-3, was used to recolor tea leaves for resale. It also caused two deaths when used to color a dessert in 1860. Sellers at the time offered more than 80 artificial coloring agents, some invented for dyeing textiles, not foods. Thus, with potted meat, fish and sauces taken at breakfast, he would consume more or less Armenian bole, red lead, or even bisulfuret of mercury, vermilion, HGS. At dinner with his curry or cayenne, he would run the chance of a second dose of lead or mercury, with pickles, bottled fruit, and vegetables, he would be nearly sure to have copper administrated to him, and while he partook of bonbons at dessert, there was no telling of the number of poisonous pigments he might consume. Again, his tea, if mixed or green, he would certainly not escape without the administration of a little Prussian blue. Many color additives had never been tested for toxicity or other adverse effects. Historical records show that injuries, even deaths, resulted from tainted colorants. In 1851, about 200 people were poisoned in England, 17 of them fatally, directly due to eating adulterated lozenges. In 1856, the first synthetic color, Mauveen, was developed by Sir William Henry Perkin, and by the turn of the century, unmonitored color additives have spread through Europe and the United States in all sorts of popular foods, including ketchup, mustard, jellies, and wine. Initially, these were dubbed coal tar because the starting materials were obtained from bituminous coal. Synthetic dyes are often less costly and technically superior to natural dyes. Concerns over food safety led to numerous regulations throughout the world. German food regulations released in 1882 stipulated the exclusion of dangerous minerals such as arsenic, copper, chromium, lead, mercury, and zinc, which were frequently used as colorant ingredients. In contrast to today's regulatory guidelines, these first laws followed the principle of a negative listing, substances not allowed for use. They were already driven by the main principles of today's food regulations all over the world, since all of these regulations follow the same goal, the protection of consumers from toxic substances and from fraud. In the United States, the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906 reduced the permitted list of synthetic colors from 700 down to 7. The 7 dyes initially approved were Pinso-3R, FD&C Red No. 1, Amaranth, FD&C Red No. 2, Erythrosine, FD&C Red No. 3, Indigotine, FD&C Blue No. 2, Light Green SF, FD&C Green No. 2, Naphthol Yellow 1, FD&C Yellow No. 1, and Orange 1, FD&C Orange No. 1. Even with updated food laws, adulteration continued for many years. In the 20th century, improved chemical analysis and testing led to the replacement of the negative lists by positive listings. Positive lists consist of substances allowed to be used to produce and improve foods. Most prevailing legislations are based on the positive listing. Positive listing implies that substances meant for human consumption have been tested for their safety and that they have to meet specified purity criteria before their approval by the corresponding authorities. In 1962, the first EU directive approved 36 colorants, of which 20 were naturally derived, and 16 were synthetic. This directive did not list which food products the colorants could or could not be used in. At that time, each member state could designate where specific colors could and could not be used. In Germany, for example, quinoline yellow was allowed in puddings and desserts, but tartrazine was not. The reverse was true in France. This was updated in 1989 with 89107EC, which concerned food additives authorized in foodstuffs. When we return, naturally derived colors. While naturally derived colors are not required to be certified by several regulatory bodies worldwide, including the US FDA, they still need to be approved for use in that country. Food colorings are tested for safety by various bodies worldwide, and sometimes, different bodies have different views on food color safety. The US FDA's permitted colors are classified as subject to certification or exempt from certification in Code of Federal Regulations, Title 21 Part 73 and 74, both of which are subject to rigorous safety standards, before their approval and listing for use in foods. Certified colors are synthetically produced and are used widely because they impart an intense, uniform color, are less expensive, and blend more efficiently to create a variety of hues. There are 9 certified color additives approved for use in the United States. Certified food colors generally do not add undesirable flavors to foods. Colors exempt from certification include pigments derived from natural sources such as vegetables, minerals, or animals. Nature-derived color additives are typically more expensive than certified colors and may add unintended flavors to foods. Exempt colors include annatto, beet extract, caramel, beta-carotene, turmeric, and grape skin extract. This list contains substances that may have synthetic origins, such as nature-identical beta-carotene. In the United States, FD&C numbers, which indicate that the FDA has approved the colorant for use in foods, drugs, and cosmetics, are given to approved synthetic food dyes that do not exist in nature, while in the European Union, E numbers are used for all additives, both synthetic and natural, that are approved in food applications. The food colors are known by E numbers that begin with a 1, such as E100, turmeric, or E161B, lutein. The safety of food colors and other food additives in the EU is evaluated by the European Food Safety Authority. The Color Directive, enacted by the European Commission in 1994, outlines permitted natural and artificial colors with approved applications and limits in different foodstuffs. This is binding to all member countries of the EU. Any changes have to be implemented into their national laws within a given time frame. In non-EU member states, food additives are regulated by their national authorities, which usually, but not in all cases, try to harmonize with the laws adopted by the EU. Most other countries have their own regulations and list of food colors which can be used in various applications, including maximum daily intake limits. According to the Food Safety and Standard Act, 2006, in India, the following 8 artificial colorings are generally permitted in food. Since the beginning of the 1960s, JECFA has promoted the development of international standards for food additives, not only by its toxicological assessments, which are continuously published by the WHO in a technical report series, but furthermore by elaborating appropriate purity criteria, which are laid down in the 2 volumes of the Compendium of Food Additive Specifications and their supplements. These specifications are not legally binding but often serve as a guiding principle, especially in countries where no scientific expert committees have been established. To further regulate the use of these evaluated additives, in 1962, the WHO and FAO created an international commission, the Codex Alimentarius, composed of authorities, food industry associations, and consumer groups worldwide. The Codex Organization's Codex Committee for Food Additives and Contaminants is responsible for working out recommendations for applying food additives, general standard for food additives. In the light of the World Trade Organization's General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, GATT, the Codex standard, although not legally binding, influences food color regulations worldwide. Carotenoids, E160, E161, E164, chlorophyllin, E140, E141, anthocyanins, E163, and betanin, E162, comprise 4 main categories of plant pigments grown to color food products. Other colorants or specialized derivatives of these core groups include annatto, E160B, a reddish-orange dye made from the seed of the achiote. Caramel coloring, E150AD, made from caramelized sugar. Carmine, E120, a red dye derived from the cochineal insect Dactylopius coccus. Elderberry juice, E163 lycopene, E160D paprika, E160C turmeric curcumin, E100 blue colors are scarce. One feasible blue dye currently in use is derived from spirulina. Recent research has explored associating anthocyanins with other phenolics or aluminium ions to develop blue colors. However, the inherent problems posed by the nature of the food matrix and the need for long-term stability makes this a challenging objective. The pigment genipin, present in the fruit of Gardenia jasminoides, can be treated with amino acids to produce the blue pigment Gardenia blue, which is approved for use in Japan but not the EU or the USA. To ensure reproducibility, the colored components of these substances are often provided in highly purified form. They can be formulated in suitable carrier materials, solid and liquids, for stability and convenience. Hexane, acetone, and other solvents break down cell walls in the fruit and vegetables and allow maximum coloring extraction. Traces of these may still remain in the finished colorant, but they do not need to be declared on the product label. These solvents are known as carry-over ingredients. The widespread public belief that artificial food coloring causes ADHD-like hyperactivity in children originated from Benjamin Feingold, a pediatric allergist from California, who proposed in 1973 that salicylates, artificial colors, and artificial flavors cause hyperactivity in children. However, there is no evidence to support broad claims that food coloring causes food intolerance and ADHD-like behavior in children. It is possible that certain food colorings may act as a trigger in those who are genetically predisposed, but the evidence is weak. Despite concerns that food colorings may cause ADHD-like behavior in children, the collective evidence does not support this assertion. The US FDA and other food safety authorities regularly review the scientific literature and led the UK Food Standards Agency, FSA, to commission a study by researchers at Southampton University of the effect of a mixture of six food dyes, tartrazine, Allura Red, Panso 4R, Quinoline Yellow, Sunset Yellow and Carmoisine, dubbed the Southampton 6, on children in the general population. These colorants are found in beverages. The study found a possible link between the consumption of these artificial colors and a sodium benzoate preservative and increased hyperactivity in the children. The advisory committee to the FSA that evaluated the study also determined that because of study limitations, the results could not be extrapolated to the general population, and further testing was recommended. The US FDA did not make changes following the publication of the Southampton study. Following a citizen petition filed by the Center for Science in the Public Interest in 2008, requesting the FDA ban several food additives, the FDA reviewed the available evidence and still made no changes. With an emphasis on the precautionary principle, the European regulatory community required labeling and temporarily reduced the acceptable daily intake, ADI, for the food colorings. The UK FSA called for voluntary withdrawal of the colorings by food manufacturers. However, in 2009 the EFSA re-evaluated the data at hand and determined that the available scientific evidence does not substantiate a link between the color additives and behavioral effects for any of the dyes.